On the Incarnation by St. Athanasius. Part 2 of Chapter 5. In a word, then, those who disbelieve the resurrection have no support in facts, if their gods and evil spirits do not drive away the supposedly dead Christ. Rather, it is he who convicts them of being dead. We are agreed that a dead person can do nothing. Yet the Savior works mightily every day, drawing men to religion, persuading them to virtue, teaching them about immortality, quickening their thirst for heavenly things, revealing the knowledge of the Father, inspiring strength in the face of death, manifesting himself to each, and displacing the irreligion of idols. While the gods and evil spirits of the unbelievers can do none of these things, but rather become dead at Christ's presence, all their ostentation barren and void. At the sign of the cross, on the contrary, all magic is stayed, all sorcery confounded, all the idols are abandoned and deserted, and all senseless pleasure ceases, as the eye of faith looks up from earth to heaven. Whom, then, are we to call dead? Shall we call Christ dead, who affects all this? But the dead have not the faculty to affect anything. Or shall we call death dead, which affects nothing whatever, but lies as lifeless and ineffective as are the evil spirits and the idols? The Son of God, living and effective, is active every day, and affects the salvation of all. But death is daily proved to be stripped of all its strength, and it is the idols and the evil spirits who are dead, not he. No room for doubt remains, therefore, concerning the resurrection of his body. Indeed, it would seem that he who disbelieves this bodily rising of the Lord is ignorant of the power of the word and wisdom of God. If he took a body to himself at all, and made it his own in pursuance of his purpose, as we have shown that he did, what was the Lord to do with it, and what was ultimately to become of that body upon which the word had descended? Mortal and offered to death on behalf of all, as it was, it could not but die. Indeed, it was for that very purpose that the Savior had prepared it for himself. But on the other hand, it could not remain dead, because it had become the very temple of life. It therefore died as mortal, but lived again because of the life within it, and its resurrection is made known through its works. It is indeed in accordance with the nature of the invisible God that he should be thus known through his works. And those who doubt the Lord's resurrection, because they do not now behold him with their eyes, might as well deny the very laws of nature. They have ground for disbelief when works are lacking. But when the works cry out and prove the fact so clearly, why do they deliberately deny the risen life so manifestly shown? Even if their mental faculties are defective, surely their eyes can give them irrefragable proof of the power and Godhead of Christ. A blind man cannot see the sun, but he knows that it is above the earth from the warmth which it affords. Similarly, let those who are still in the blindness of unbelief recognize the Godhead of Christ and the resurrection which he has brought about through his manifested power in others. Obviously, he would not be expelling evil spirits and despoiling idols if he were dead, for the evil spirits would not obey one who was dead. If, on the other hand, the very naming of him drives them forth, he clearly is not dead, and the more so that the spirits, who perceive things unseen by men, would know if he were dead, and would refuse to obey him. But as a matter of fact, what profane persons doubt, the evil spirits know, namely, that he is God. And for that reason they flee from him and fall at his feet, crying out, even as they cried when he was in the body, "We know you who you are, the Holy One of God." And, "Ah, what have I in common with you, you Son of God? I implore you, do not torment me." Both from the confession of the evil spirits and from the daily witness of his works, it is manifest then, and let none presume to doubt it, that the Saviour has raised his own body, and that he is very Son of God, having his being from God as from a Father, whose word and wisdom and whose power he is. He it is who in these latter days assumed a body for the salvation of us all, and taught the world concerning the Father. He it is who has destroyed death, and freely graced us all with incorruption, through the promise of the resurrection, having raised his own body as its first fruits, and displayed it by the sign of the cross, as the monument to his victory over death and its corruption. End of chapter 5.